The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Time to turn our attention to a country with so much culture and so much influence in Singapore today. Singapore and Japan, we currently share 53 years of diplomatic relations. Our two countries also share similar problems. Think aging population, right? Well, there's now over 37,000 Japanese citizens here in Singapore, and the Japanese Chamber of Commerce and Industry here represent over 850 companies. In 2018, Japan was Singapore's 8th largest trading partner and 3rd largest investor, while Singapore was Japan's top Asian investor. There are 14 direct flights between Singapore and Tokyo a day, to give you an idea of how close we are. So how strong are our trade ties with Japan? I mean, what are they doing to fix their aging population? What can we learn from them? In fact, what can both countries learn from each other in the business sense? Plus, what are some of the key takeaways from the G20 summit in Osaka? In the studio to share more with me is His Excellency Jun Yamazaki, Japanese Ambassador to Singapore. Mr. Ambassador, ohayou gozaimasu. Money FM Niyokoso.
Domo hayo gozaimasu. Thank you very much. Good morning. Very nice to see you.
So Osaka was in the spotlight over the weekend with the G20 summit. Mm-hmm. And it's the first ever G20 summit held in Osaka. Beautiful images on TV, lots of reports coming from international news agencies. But for you, what were some of the takeaways from this summit?
First of all, you know, the premises that we're talking about is that global growth remains low and risks remain tilted to the downside. Trade and geopolitical tensions have intensified. Given this backdrop, Prime Minister Abe, rather than focusing on the differences, tried to emphasize the importance of the G20 to send a common united message. So, some of the takeaways. One, trade and investment. The G20 agreed to strive to realize a free, fair, non-discriminatory, transparent, predictable, and stable trade and investment environment, and to keep our markets open. Second, on cross-border flow of data, PM Abe announced the start of Osaka Track, a push for rules to handle such flow to gain consumer and business trust. Thirdly, marine plastic litter, the G20 share on the marine plastic litter, the G20 share and call on other members of the international community to also share the Osaka Blue Ocean Vision. Mm. It aims to reduce additional pollution by marine plastic litter to zero by 2050. Also, the G20 commit to continued support for girls and women's education and training, including providing quality primary and secondary education. Japan intends to continue playing a role in expanding women's education in developing countries by providing at least 4 million women with quality education by 2020. Those are some of the takeaways, I would say.
You see a lot of this tone of unity, especially in today's day and age, and I think PM Abe really echoed that during his speeches at the G20. Let's talk about the topic of trade, Mr. Ambassador. That, of course, is under the spotlight, and this, of course, due to the escalating tensions between the US and major trading partners. Singapore and Japan, do we have any gaps between trade, and is there anything we could do to fill those gaps if there are?
If you look at the numbers, in 2018, export to Japan from Singapore is 27 billion Singapore dollars, and import from Japan is 30 billion Singapore dollars. There are some differences in the numbers, but I think we shouldn't be focusing on that aspect. Okay. I think what we should be focusing on is the fact that both Singapore and Japan are like-minded countries who are strong advocates and promoters of free and fair trade around the world. I think that's something that we really should be stick to and try to bring the people who believe in that and who are advocates to bring that number higher.
There are about 1,200 Japanese companies that have established and strengthened their regional head offices here in Singapore. What about in Japan? I mean, what makes Singaporean companies attracted to do business in Japan, apart from the food and culture, which I really love? Tell us more.
Well, Japanese economy is quite lively. I think there are quite many untapped opportunities. Yeah. And I think Singapore companies have already grasped them. And just one example of, maybe if I may, about the food, Bee Chi Hian, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, a well-known pork jerky brand expanded their business to Ginza in Tokyo. think they were able to meet the demand of the Japanese consumers. But also another example, which is not food, is Changi Airport Company contributed to the expansion of international business at the Guoka Airport. This is an example where the Changi Airport Company's know-how matched the needs of the Japanese local airport. I think it's a great endeavor and something that I think we want to see many of those things happening in Japan. Also, I would say that in Niseko, the ski resort in Hokkaido is a popular place for investments by Singaporean developers. And I see that many of the developers from Singapore are investing into various property hotels in Japan. So I think there is a lot of potential to do business in Japan.
How different are our countries, Singapore and Japan, in terms of business practices? Say, for example, when a Singapore business decides to expand to Japan, I mean, what are some of the things that should be avoided and what can we learn from each other?
Well, I think there are many things both sides can learn from each other. I guess that there's a tendency, I guess, in Japanese company to try to prepare things, organize things, and work out what can be predicted in detail before they actually jump into the decision-making or the implementation. Whereas I guess in the Singaporean business practice, I think you have a little bit better, quite agile, better at rapidly adapting to the changing business environment, that kind of thing. I think both sides have their strengths. Probably the two sides, if they can cooperate and bring together their strengths, forte, I think it would be a very, very formidable kind of a win-win situation.
Mr. Ambassador, when I found out you were coming to the studio, one of the things I really wanted to talk about in terms of our similarities was the aging population problem that we're facing. And at the G20 finance meetings, they talked and they weighed on this issue as a global risk. Could I ask, what is Japan doing to counter this issue and what can we in Singapore learn from it?
I think it's quite a pertinent question for Japan, and I think it is already a pertinent question for Singapore. In the case of Japan, today 28% of Japanese people are 65 years or older. Mm-hmm. Singapore is also rapidly aging, and it is estimated to be in a similar situation by 2030. So in the case of Japan, we have a master plan which covers such areas as employment, pension, nursing, and medical care, and it has been revised over the years. Some of the more recent issues, including how to address the increase in the number of elderly people living alone. Mm. To address this, the government is preparing the community inclusive care system, where local governments are responsible for preparing the nursing and medical care. Another area that is drawing much attention is maintaining good health and maintaining sufficient assets, as many people are living longer than before. Yeah. Regarding assets, the government is encouraging people to prepare individual pension in addition to the obligatory public pension. Also, the government plans to reform the public pension system to be more flexible. People can choose to receive after age 70 or older, or people can receive while still working. Another area is how to make sure that all motivated elderly people can still participate in the workforce. For this, the government is proceeding with, for example, teleworking. This is working from your home.
All right.
As well as strengthening the offices that exclusively offer elderly people suitable jobs. Our policies are implemented through trial and error. Mm-hmm. Since Japan is, in a way, a pioneer in this aging issue, what we do is a case study for everybody around the world to look at. In the case of nursing care insurance system, we do need to reform it since the cost of the system has become unaffordable. We need to give more incentive for self-support or prevention of serious conditions. Actually, understand that Singapore's nursing care system has already taken on board this idea. So there are quite a diverse elements, I think, that we're trying to tackle. And I think it's something that we want to share with the world. Again, it's a both-way street, and we're learning from many other countries as well.
You can see a lot of similarities there. It is more than just building an infrastructure. It's also the mindset and how you're going to take care of yourself as an elderly. Let's touch a little bit on the upcoming Japanese elections. Mr. Ambassador, how is it affecting trade and domestic issues? Say things like GST, for example.
I think for any elections, a lot of times I think people are concerned about their own welfare. Many of the issues that I think people are concerned about is the domestic policy issues, social issues, the overall situation of the economy, all these things. Well, I think there will be some lively debate on this. And of course, we are planning to raise our consumption tax from 8% to 10% in the fall. The government is saying that unless we face a situation where a very catastrophic kind of economic downturn is going to happen, we will not refrain from raising this, because I think there is a very serious need to do this.
Okay.
So let's see how much of that is going to be debated.
Yeah.
And the discussion is just starting, and let's see how it goes.
Yeah. 2 years ago, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe introduced Society 5.0. Now, what this is an initiative to create a smart high-tech society which balances economic advancement and the integration of cyberspace and physical space. I know it's only been 2 years, but Mr. Ambassador, has Japan achieved its goals? And you can kind of see Singapore sort of following that model. How far do you think we are away from kind of modeling Japan and what they've done here?
Well, Society 5.0 is a vision of the future society where we can tackle many of our economic development issues together with our social challenges, utilizing IoT, big data, AI, robotics, and whatnot. I would say it is work in progress in Japan. Singapore is aggressively adopting many of the technologies that I mentioned as a smart nation. I think there will be much opportunity to learn from each other's activity. I don't think I'm in a position to really pass a judgment on where we are on this.
Sure.
I think we're still at an early stage on these things.
Yeah, this is maybe the kind of thing that the next generation really gets to enjoy once everything's fully implemented. His Excellency Jun Yamazaki, Japanese Ambassador to Singapore, in the studio with me. In April, Japan introduced a new scheme to take in more foreign workers to help 14 sectors. We're talking sectors like construction and nursing. These are sectors that face manpower crunches, obviously a lack of younger workers as well. Now, how are the Japanese people reacting to this new scheme, Mr. Ambassador? What opportunities of learning again can Singapore take from this? You know, we ourselves would face the same problem.
Recently, Japan started, as you say, accepting foreign workers in specific 14 sectors where companies are facing labor shortages. Mm-hmm. As for accepting foreign workers, I would say Singapore is ahead of Japan. Japan can learn from Singapore's experience, actually. And another thing, I guess, Japan needs to be attractive to the workers coming from abroad. So the government is preparing various services such as one-stop consultation service for foreign workers or medical support service. You know, regarding your question about how does Japanese people feel about it, these days, many foreign tourists are coming to Japan.
Yeah.
Plus, Japan has already been accepting many foreign technical interns for some time.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, most Japanese people are accustomed to working or living with foreigners. I think we have to see, but my personal sense is that they are willing to see how this works out. And I think they all want to do this because on the one hand, you have the economic necessity and there is declining population that Japan is facing. So let's see how it goes.
I mean, it goes both ways as well for us, especially in Singapore, being so open to seeing, take for example, so many like anime conventions. We're so embracing of this Japanese culture and we've become such a global society, so kind of vice versa. Very quickly, to wrap things up, Mr. Ambassador, as an ambassador, what other plans do you have to strengthen our friendly ties in future? And what else are you hoping to achieve during your time here in Singapore?
You know, the relationship between Singapore and Japan is a mature and excellent one. I would like to make sure that this relationship is maintained that way. As we enter the new era, Reiwa, in Japan, I would like to put an extra effort to promote many things Japanese, be it technology, startups, attractive travel destinations, the arts, the cuisine, Japanese sake, Japanese wine.
Ah, lovely.
Just to mention a few. I also am trying to promote many things Singaporean back home. And on top of that, I would say connecting with the Singaporean people is very important. I participated in the Chingay Parade in the beginning of this year, and I was on the float done by the Japanese Association of Singapore. It was an exhilarating experience to wave and say hello to President Halima Yaakob on the stand. I felt that we were really appreciated. I think those things are quite important, and the Japanese Association has been doing this for quite a long time. So I think that's great. And also one more thing is that Japanese Association has been holding its summer festival at the Sports Hub since mm-hmm. last year, and there were like 40,000 people who came, and most of them were, I understand, Singaporeans. So this is, again, a very, I would say, significant event in that we are really reaching out to the Singaporean people, and together we're dancing to the traditional Japanese summer festival dances. I think that's marvelous. And I think I would like to encourage many of those things happening during my tenure and make sure that people really understand and kind of feel comfortable, to get being together. I think that's very important. Also, one more thing that I would say is that not just Singapore, but Japan attaches importance to its relationship to the ASEAN. Mm-hmm. We feel that a stable and prosperous ASEAN that enjoys unity and cohesiveness, that is very important. Many Japanese companies are doing business in ASEAN member states, and ASEAN's continued stable development would be extremely beneficial for Japan. So I think I will be, in my humble capacity and way that I can, I will try to contribute to so that that can happen, and as a Japanese government can contribute to these efforts that the ASEAN is undertaking.
His Excellency Jun Yamazaki, Japanese Ambassador to Singapore. Mr. Ambassador, it's been a pleasure having you in the studio. Take care and have a great week ahead.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.